Guess what, everybody? We're going on tour. So all of our Lady Gang fans in Florida are always like, Florida gets left off the tour. And that's because it always gets left off because it's very hard to get to when you're touring because it's like kind of out of the way. But we were like, nope, this summer, it's Florida. We are heading to the Tampa Improv on June 26th. It is a nice Sunday afternoon brunch, 3 p.m. Lady Hang Live with us in Tampa. You can get tickets at theladygang.com or tampaimprov.com. We'll see you there.
Lady Gang is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save over $700 on average. Quote now at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2020 and May 2021. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse. Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Lady Gang podcast. I am Kelty Knight, joined by Jack Vanek. And as you have been listening and realizing, this is not my part of the show to do. This is Becca's part, but Becca is on maternity leave. Woo. Baby Ford is here. We are leaving her alone. She just recently wrote an essay on motherhood for our new book coming out in the fall. And I read it this morning and I was like, oh yeah, no, she's in it. She's in like the non-sleep mode right now. So anyway, we decided that while she was on maternity leave, we're going to invite some of our famous friends to come on the podcast and be guest hosts. So today we're very excited to welcome Caitlin Bristow's other half, Jason Tartick. He has a brand new book called The Restart Roadmap. It's out April 5th. And we posted in Facebook that we're going to talk to you today. Being so long-winded. Anyway, the girls freaked out. They want to know about money. They want to know about crypto. They want to be successful. They want to retire at 50. We're going to get to that. But first, it's time for
good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
Okay. So my good week this week is, Jason, we're actually working on our second book right now.
Congrats.
We're in the grind. We're doing it again. And my good week is that we are turning in the entire book tomorrow, and we will be done with the hard part, you know, with the text part of it, all of the words. But it's been another huge grind, and you think it would be easier the second time around, but it's still really fucking hard.
Good for you guys. Well, while just getting this book across finish line, the first thing I've been telling people is never write a book. So for two, good for you guys. That's awesome.
Writing a book is hard. Like, I think that everybody thinks it's the same thing about starting a podcast, right? Everybody's like, I can do a podcast. I can talk for an hour. I could write a book. And then when it comes time for the nitty gritty, it's like, oh, wow, this is way harder than I thought it would be.
So many moving parts.
Exactly. It's hard. So that's my good week. The hard part's done. Now we just have to deal with all of the, some creative stuff, which is great. My bad week, and this has to do with you, Jason, is you cut your hair.
Oh,
it's not on Instagram.
I mean, listen, it looks great. You are such an attractive guy that like you can look good with any haircut, but I personally am a long hair lover on men. I have made my fiance grow his hair out to about here, and he started with a crew cut when we started dating. And I just think like any guy that has a full head of hair should embrace it and just grow it as long as they can. Maybe it hits their butt. I don't know.
God, that is painful to hear, because for the same thing for me, it's like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to let it go. I don't care. I'm at the age now where like soon it's going to be like, dude, you can't pull this off. Yeah. And I just woke up one day and I was like, I'm sick of it. I'm done.
You know, but were you going through an awkward phase?
I went through like 8 awkward phases. Everyone, there's like so many different awkward phases with long
hair. I know. Yeah. You just have to push through. And then you finally get to the finish line. And you're like, wow, this is really worth it. But there are so many times with my fiance's hair, it would be like to hear on his neck and it would do the kind of flip out. It would be
That's
like
what
a little,
mine did.
Yeah.
And it you got just, mullety. So I was like
a Susan. You were a Susan.
Yeah. Caitlin was calling me her Auntie Judy. She's like, you literally look like my Auntie Judy. And I'm like, okay, I'm done.
What made you cut it? You're just over it?
to be honest, I was just no one in my inner circle liked it anymore, but I didn't care. And that was actually a little motivation for me to keep going. So like Caitlin didn't like it. My mom didn't like it. My grandmother didn't like it. My friends were like, dude, it's too long. But I was like, nope, I'm doing me. And just one day I was like, I'm honestly just sick of this hair. Like it is a project just taking a shower now. And I was like, I'm done. I just
welcome to womanhood, Jason.
You guys are heroes.
Oh, it's such a pain in the ass. Well, I loved it. I just have to put my vote out there. But it also looks great short. I mean, you can do whatever.
This is like when I got bangs and I came home and I was like, what do you think? And my husband was like, I liked it better before. And I was like, well, don't say that because now I got to grow them out for 3 more years.
Exactly. You can't win them all. You just got to do what you got to do, you know?
Happens.
Jason, what is your good week and bad week this week?
All right. So good week and bad week. So good week, similar to you guys, I finally got this book across the finish line.
Yay.
We were super, super late getting the pre-sale out. So pre-sale is a big part of the process. Yep. People would suggest a minimum of 3 to 4 months. We gave ourselves 38 days. So we really screwed up there. But in the first week, we just got numbers back. I didn't write this book to make lists, right? I don't have like all this secret juicy gossip. Mm-hmm. I have what I think is like really constructive insight that can make an impact. So I don't expect to sell a ton. I was worried I wouldn't sell any. And we just got some numbers back that we've sold. We're in the thousands now. So we're about a week and a half into it. So that was like super exciting for a book I didn't know, you know, what would happen with it. So that's the good news.
Congratulations.
Yeah. The bad news. So I got this, someone on my team called me not too long ago. I was like, you got to come up with something bad that's happened in the last week. And I'm sitting here thinking like, this is like when Caitlin puts me on the spot for confessions. I'm like, shit, here we go. Yeah. So it's a little gross, but I was like, you know what? It's the first thing that came to mind. So I'm just going to tell it. Yeah.
This is perfect for our podcast.
Okay. Perfect. I'm not sure the audience will fit, but I'm on the way, and I've never done this before, but I'm on the way back from going out on Saturday. We did like some day drinking and I didn't get an Uber XL. I didn't get like the comfort. I got the small little economy Uber. So it's a tight space. Mm-hmm. And I'm on my phone, not paying attention. There's no music on, by the way. And all of a sudden, I didn't even realize it. I let out a toot. I let out a pretty good toot, but it was like a silencer PP7 toot. So I'm like, good. No worries.
Yeah.
And then like it was a couple seconds later, I'm like, oh shit. Like,
we're not okay.
The aroma is coming through on that.
Yeah.
So now we're in this, like, I'm in this awkward position. I haven't done it. It's just me. No one else. Can't point the finger. Small car. And it's got some aroma going.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what do I do? I like let the window go. Do I let it go? Do I ignore it? There's no music. Yeah. There's no noise. So I just let it go. And I'm like,
no, let's just roll the dice.
Let's see what happens. But then the poor guy, he rolled the window down and I was like, no.
Oh, no.
It was like a game of chess that I lost drastically. No. So
wait,
that was my bad.
What did you call it? What, PP7?
Yeah,
like a silencer PP7. It's like one of the guns that you could use in James Bond where it doesn't make a noise. So like
I call it silent but deadly.
Yes, an SBD.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, so that was my Saturday. I felt I tipped the guy extra well for that one.
You know those Uber drivers love to listen to a podcast and watch reality TV, so they're probably like writing into Dumois as we speak. Had Jason in my Uber, farted like a crazy
worst, smelliest fart.
What a scumbag!
That's a great bad week. You really understood the assignment. I
love
it.
That was tough. I'm glad that was the first thing that came to mind.
Well, mine is very surface level. So my good week is that I've been renovating. Did you guys renovate your kitchen yet?
Yeah, we finished it. Yep.
Oh, of course you did. So in the time it took Jason to renovate a whole kitchen, I've done one thing in my kitchen. I renovated my kitchen and I got a bubble ice maker, which is like the most thrilling thing that's ever existed in my life. So basically it's like this bougie fucking thing that you don't need. It's like a third freezer in my house. And when you open it, it has perfectly round bubble ice ready for your iced teas and iced coffees at all time. This is a Heather Dubrow thing. This is like, you do not need it. You regular ice works, but I just was like, I'm doing it. I'm making this my dream kitchen. So yesterday was the first day I had full 24 hours of bubble ice. I've drank more iced tea and more waters with bubble ice than I know what to do with. And it was fucking glorious. I was like, you know what? I'm glad I waited 6 months. I haven't had a sink. I've been doing dishes in my powder room, you know, sink. I was like, this was all worth it for the bubble ice. I woke up this morning, bad week. My bubble ice freezer is now just filled with water. So, and Chris is in New York, my husband, and even if he was here, he couldn't fix it because he's not handy at all.
No.
And now the plumber, when he put the bubble ice in, I know this is me on the, this is me to a T on the podcast talking about something that like no one can relate to. When you put the machine in, it wasn't making ice and the light was blinking. We're like, I don't know. So the plumber and I pulled it back out and we like moved a toggle from like here to here. And then we heard and it started like doing water. And I was like, oh great, this must be it. And then it worked. Now it's just spouting water. There is no ice. There's a little bit because I filled up my cup before this podcast. But anyway, I'm going to have to call a plumber. I don't have time for this shit in my life. And it serves me right for trying to be bougie. Why couldn't I just have a regular fucking home?
Just have an ice tray, you know?
Just an old school ice tray. Well, you can put hot water in it, right? And then the ice cube will be clear, right? If you do that.
See, this Jason is fancy. No, my friend works for the Hyatt Hotels. And before the new Hyatt in Century, I think it's a Hyatt. Oh my God, he's worked at so many hotels. Anyway, he's like the head of the events, right? So like the bougie events that happen. And he one time I was at his house and he was on a Zoom about ice. And like the people came and showed all the ice. So you can do like the ball ice. You can do an ice spear. Like what shape was our signature ice going to be for this drink in the bar? And like there was all different kinds of ices and you could just do like, anyway, I went out on Saturday night to see Robin play in LA and they gave me a margarita with the big round ices. And I hate that fucking ice because you can't get a drink out. You just hit the ice. Anyway,
when the reason for the ice is to keep your drink cold and it won't water your drink down. The one big ice cube.
I understand that, but I like to drink my margaritas, as you know, so quickly. But then I just got to the bottom and I just had the bottom ring of water. And then every time I tried to take a drink, the ice just went on my face. Mm. There was no drink available. Okay. Mm. When we come back, Jason's going to save us some money. This episode of Lady Gang is brought to you by our friends at Daily Harvest. I'm such a fan of Daily Harvest. My entire freezer in my garage is stocked full of their amazing bowls and soups and flatbreads and snacks and smoothies. And all of Daily Harvest is built on organic fruits and vegetables. As you guys know, I'm so stressed out and busy right now. And I know so many of you are too. And by the time you get home at night, you're like, you know what I think I'll eat? A loaf of bread. And that is not the choice we want you to be making. And that's what I love about Daily Harvest. You can just literally go to the freezer. It doesn't go bad quickly like the vegetables you buy at the grocery store. And you're like, I'm going to make salads, but then you don't. And then you've just wasted your money. You pull it out and you're like, okay, cool. I'm making a soup. Cool. I'm making a flatbread. You can make everything so fast. It's so easy. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about like, if you're being like, oh my God, I want to eat healthy. And then you're giving me a recipe where I need to chop something. That is not happening. So avoid the takeout temptation and get Daily Harvest. Go to dailyharvest.com/lady to get up to $40 off your first box. That's dailyharvest.com/lady for up to $40 off your first box. dailyharvest.com/lady.
Okay, listen up. If you are stumped on gifts to give people in your life that you love so much, maybe a family member, maybe a best friend, you need to turn to Storyworth. We love this sponsor so much. And I did this for my dad a couple years ago. Kelty did it for her mom and it's awesome. So what it is, it's an online service that helps you and your loved ones connect through sharing stories and memories, and it preserves them for years to come. So every week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question of your choice from a vast pool of possible options. Each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought of, like what is one of your fondest childhood memories, or what's the best advice you've ever received? It's so amazing. You get these morsels and memories and you can save them and they last a lifetime. And guess what? After 1 year, they compile all the questions and stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book. Get to know your loved ones better and preserve those special moments forever with Storyworth. Right now, for a limited time, you can save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/lady. That's storyworth.com/lady to save $10 on your first purchase. Storyworth.com/lady.
This episode of Lady Gang is brought to you by Rothy's. So I recently posted a pair of the new lace-up white Rothy's on my Instagram. I swear to God, it was like I was Oprah giving away cars. More of you clicked on the Rothy's link that were interested in these sneakers and asking me questions about the sneakers than anything else in my whole life. So I know you are looking for the perfect white sneaker because it's just so easy. It goes with everything. You wear dresses, you wear sweatpants, you wear jeans. That's why I love Rothy's, and because you invest in this white sneaker, you're giving back. It's sustainable. They're made out of recycled water bottles, but then they're also insanely comfortable. But the best part is that when they get a little grungy or smelly or you spill your coffee on them,
like we all do, you just throw them in the washing machine and they come out perfectly. I swear to God, guys, perfectly. I love them so much. They're super comfortable and they have like ankle boots and, you know, they have that little pointy flat that are like crazy bestsellers. Step up your shoes and accessories this spring. Get ready to be asked, are there Rothy's? Oh my God, I love my Rothy's. Plus get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/ladygang. That's Rothy's, rothys.com/ladygang.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
All right. So Jason, before we get into it, I think you know this already, but I grew up with Katie. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before on the podcast when she's on, but her mom, Les, and my mom, Sheila, and this other lady, Nancy, who was a Highland Dance Championship, I just want to throw that out there, were a trio of misfits in Edmonton, Alberta. And Caitlin's mom was like an insanely talented ballerina. Like, had she not had those children, no offense, Caitlin, like she probably would have been like at the National Ballet of Canada. She was incredible. She's this tiny little pipsqueak, like right height, right body. Anyway, very, very talented. Anyway, so we all grew up together. When we were kids, we like always went to the funerals and the Christmases and the you know, we did some child modeling as one does. But what's funny is that, you know, I'm from Sherwood Park, which is like the Leduc, another version of Leduc, where Caitlin is from Leduc. And Leduc is really shitty. And Sherwood Park is really shitty. And I just think, I've thought about this so much. I think it's so fucking funny that you flew or like went to Leduc, Canada to get this engagement ring. Like, you're Hollywood, you guys live in Nashville, you're in LA, she's not, you know, and then you're like, you know what, I'm gonna go get this engagement ring in Leduc.
Oh my God, I love that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, I mean, technically it's, so there's a jeweler, Paris Jewelers, her name is Chow, she's out of Edmonton, and it's a small business. The whole family are a great group of people that started it in came and immigrated into Canada, and they're just an amazing family. And I went through, you know, I did my due diligence. I probably talked to every single jeweler that's out there. Mm-hmm. And she blew me away. I mean, she blew me away with the creativity, the way she came prepared to our meeting, some of the things she knew. I mean, she had a creative board of every single different type of dress that Caitlin wore to big functions and was like, based on her style, this is the direction I think we should go. So like, you name a jeweler in New York City or you name a jeweler in LA, I promise you, I had some sort of discussion or did research on them, and her work just blew everyone away.
So did she, Caitlin didn't tell you what she wanted for her ring?
She gave me an idea. I knew that she wanted oval, but I knew, like, with Caitlin and everything she does, she wants originality. Like, she wants creativeness. She wants just like thought provoking ideas, right? So on the side of her ring, it's all laced. So there's like a custom lace on all of it with diamonds in it. And the lace was derived from the fact that she sat down and brought pictures to every single like red carpet Caitlin's been on. And she always has some form of lace. So she did that. And then on the like four different prongs, we put three diamonds for Ramen Pino and I. So she was like very helpful with creative inspo. So Edmonton coming through, that's where it all went down.
How much time have you spent in the home and native?
Oh man. Well, I grew up in Buffalo, right? So I could throw a football and I would be into Ontario. Like, we would go up there all the time. And when you could start drinking at 19,
at 18.
It's 19 in Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. We would go party all the time up there. So I've, between hockey and just like growing up in that area, spent a lot of time, but in Alberta, not as much, especially because Caitlin and I started dating, you know, 2019, and a year later, you know, the shutdown. So it's been a train wreck trying to get back and see her family, which is too bad.
And then Starbucks or Tim Hortons is like the most important question.
I mean, that's just a no-brainer. Timmy Ho's all day.
Yes!
Timmy Ho's all day. Yes! Although Caitlin tells me that, what do you think about this, Kelty? Caitlin tells me that, because we'll go back to Buffalo and Tim Hortons are everywhere, because Tim Horton was a former Buffalo Sabre. He actually died on his way in a car crash, on his way home from a hockey game. And so there's Tim Hortons everywhere. And Caitlin says that the Tim Hortons in Canada is completely different than the Tim Hortons in America, for 100%. The better. In Canada. You agree with that?
I agree with that.
Wow. All right.
I agree with that. Also, did you play hockey growing up?
Yes, I did. Yep.
What'd you play?
I played left wing, and then on the power play, I played defense, actually. It's great. Actually, I got hockey at night. I still play.
You have such a hockey boy vibe. I know. Just from sitting with you for this 5 minutes, I feel like I know exactly why Caitlin fell in love with you. And I'm like, Jason is the guy we grew up with. Do you have a large circumference of hamstring?
Yes, I have a big hamstring. Yes.
Hockey boys always have a big hamstring. It's so hot. It's like there's the confidence of like just fucking growing up in the cold. You're like burly. You're not a sissy. You can fix things.
I think Caitlin definitely has mentioned before. She reminds me of people from her hometown. That's
yeah,
for sure.
You definitely.
And sometimes I think it's for the good and bad. Like I'll wear like a white hat. I don't know what her deal is with white hats, but like she'll be like take that white hat off. It reminds me of LaDuke. Like I can't. Or like there's certain things I'll wear. She's like, oh my God, you look like you're from LaDuke. Take that off.
I don't think men need to be wearing white hats.
Well, like what about golfing, huh? Like you're golfing with a white hat on?
I guess you might have to. What else would you wear? I guess a white hat.
I guess black, blue, gray.
God, just a man in a white hat just...
It screams like Sahara Desert. Home renovation.
Yeah, screams legit. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm here for fashion tips if you got them, guys.
Okay. I do want to talk about the book, but just because this is your first time on the podcast, there's a couple things that I need to get out of the way before for we sure. like get into, you know, the whole like you're gonna save our lives. you post on Instagram that about the laundry. This is important.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Do you wash your laundry with your significant other? And you said no.
Yeah, no, that was the rare answer too. Do you guys do your laundry together?
First of all, do you do your own laundry?
I do my own laundry, yes.
Well, he'd have to, because would that work?
I don't do my laundry.
I'm going to tell you a little bit of a thing. We have an assistant at our house that works every part-time here and there. If she's here and her list allows for her to do laundry, that's like the dream. But I would say very often I do my laundry, yeah. Okay. Are you surprised by that?
Yeah.
You know what else I think is ridiculous? I have buddies that say that their significant others, like, they do their laundry, but they also say they pack for them. Like, how the fuck would they know what to pack? How would you know what to pack? Yeah, they say their significant others will pack for them. I'm like, I would never want that.
I think that laundry is the most annoying chore to do. In packing, I would just never go out of my way to do that for somebody else. I barely even want to do it for myself.
Yeah, I do agree with you.
I don't pack for Chris, but I pack for Chris.
What do you mean you pack for him?
Like, when we were going on our trip at the holidays, we went on a big trip, and I sat with him in his closet, and we, like, picked out what he was going to bring.
Yeah.
And as he decided what was being brought, I folded it and put it in the space bag.
Wow.
That's
I'll sit and decide, but I'm like, I'm not touching your clothes.
I did Paris Fashion Week with a carry-on. Like, I can pack a bag. You know what I mean? So maybe it's just... But he just left for New York this morning, and I don't even know if he took clothes. So who
knows? So both of you, you guys both do your laundry for the household, like, together? You mix it all up?
How my fiance and I do it, I will, like, do a load of my laundry, and if some of his stuff just ends up getting in there, or if I don't have a full load, and I throw some of his darks in there, like, we'll do that for each other. But we, like, mostly just do our own. And then maybe like three-fourths of mine and then some extras of his.
You out? Is it the fact that my period panties with like a whole strip of menstrual blood are mixing in with your white t-shirts? Like, what is it that's throwing you off, Jason?
Could it be that? I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't give a shit. The only thing is that Caitlin doesn't want anyone touching her laundry. That's like her thing.
Oh,
she's
so
like very
thing.
Set. Like, so when here and there we do have an assistant that can come and help with that, she will direct her to say, like, I don't know what's on your list, if like how you're helping out, but today do not, like, never touch my laundry. So she's like very particular that she will do her laundry. Even on Dancing with the Stars, I know she was like, she just doesn't like people doing her laundry, but she's a lot, like, she's cool with it because they give you this like bag.
Right.
So you put it all in the bag, right?
Yeah.
Then you close and kind of like seal and lock it, and they just throw the bag in there and they give you the bag back. So no one's technically like touching her laundry.
I wonder but who she's, shamed like, her. Someone shamed her in her childhood about laundry.
Next time you have her on, ask her why.
That is interesting. It has to stem from something.
Yeah. Anyway,
I also think if you're a germaphobe, you don't want anyone like touching the cotton line gusset of your whatever. But if it, you know, Katie is like so small as a human that I'm assuming that she probably has a hard time getting clothes and she probably needs to get a lot of things tailored down to her. So maybe she like doesn't want you to shrink it, but then that would help her. I don't know.
Very next question. Yeah. When you have her on, you ask her what that's
I'm interested.
Okay. So my last question before we get into you fixing our lives, is, I think it's very interesting that Caitlin obviously is having a moment, which we are so happy for her. I mean, for everything she's done, and I know there were a ton of no's along the way for her to get to this place, but now she's crazy busy. I know that she's making a ton of money and she has a million jobs and a million things to do. So how do you as a guy in that relationship, you know, keep your ego in check? And I think you like, do you have to work at it and, or does it just come natural to you as who you are?
Yeah. I think like if you are having issues with like in a relationship with your ego or you're just having ego issues in general, I think you have to do some type of self-examination, like right down to the bedrock of what's going on. I don't think enough people do that. I think for me, I'm so, I guess, like comfortable and confident with where I'm at professionally, with where my businesses are going, with the things I want to achieve and what I want to do, that in no way am I at all intimidated or insecure or, you know, vulnerable about her success, right? I think if anything, it's motivating, it's inspiring. And I think if you're with a partner that is, regardless of what the situation is or who you are, that's just extremely, extremely toxic. And for me, I, with every bone in my body, want to do anything I can do to keep helping her kill it. Like when she is doing what she's doing and she's killing it, she's happy. When she's happy, our relationship is more connected. Our relationship is doing better. We're doing better as a unit. And I think people that just drive on ego will literally drive themselves nuts. And there's so many people just throwing shit at other people because they're hurting so bad. Yeah. And for me, I mean, I'm inspired by it. I think it's awesome. And it is, you know, it's definitely unconventional in a little ways. And I actually get this question a lot. So it's fascinating to see, and I'm shocked to hear that there are other people out there that want to compete with their significant others, that want to be better, or that want to try and take them down to put themselves ahead. To me, that is just bullshit.
Yeah. I actually don't, I don't see it as much as, I want to be like clear as to what I'm thinking. I see it as, I see two things happen. There's guys like you that are like, my husband is very much the same. I think Jared is very much the same with Jack. Like you go like, I want to do whatever I can to help you. And like, I hope you out earn me. I hope you can crush. Like, I love this for you. The other side to me is not someone that my first husband was like, I want to take you down. I don't believe in you. You'll never be a rocket. Go fuck yourself. But, but it's actually the thing of like, there's guys and they're like, I want a boss bitch. I want a girl with her own job that makes her own money. That's like crushing. But then when it actually comes down to it in my life, I have alienated a lot of men because I have my own thing and I do my own thing and I'm not a bit available to just follow you around and be your wifey. Does that make sense?
No, I think that does make sense. And I think like, I don't know, I guess you'd have to do some like digging deep there, but I think there are a lot of men out there that are looking for validation. I think a lot of them, you know, in general want to be held at a high like regard and respected. Yeah. And I do agree with you. I think there's a lot of people that talk a big game about out there, how they want an independent bitch. They want a strong woman, all this, but they can't handle what comes with that. Right. And I think maybe it's been derived from, like, I look at my mom and she's very similar. She's always worked in her career. She's very strong minded and independent. I've always seen that balance with my parents' relationship and they've been together over 35 years and it's worked. Wow. So, you know, it's just something that has worked, but I agree with like, yeah, obviously with the good comes bad. And, you know, Caitlin being on tour for 2-3 months, is that ideal? Absolutely not. Like, as we're trying to, you know, get on the next, you know, pages as it comes to like planning our wedding and doing things. Is that ideal? No, but like through communication and understanding expectations, you work through some of this stuff. Yeah. And it's all part of, you know, the bigger plan, and it's all working out, and she's happy and she's crushing it. It's a beautiful thing.
It always stays exciting that way too. My fiance is a musician, and you know, he's gone for months out of the year at the same time too. We're going to go on tour. Like, but it just, if you accept that that's like your lifestyle, and there is so much benefit to living this unconventional lifestyle and a creative lifestyle, then it's so exciting. And you're just, I've had to be like, okay, I'm never going to have my partner around all the time, but there's so many exciting things that come along with it.
100%. And like, it's kind of like a little bit of long distance. Like, we're counting down the days till she gets back. I don't know.
And that's
like
kind of exciting.
We can't wait. We're super excited. I think the other thing too is like really understanding it doesn't matter what your title is or what your job is or what you do. It's really important in every relationship to understand what value you can bring to your partner and what value that partner can bring to you. And that is so much more important than fame or money earned, et cetera. For Caitlin, she struggles with analytics. She struggles with planning. She struggles with understanding some of the finances behind her business. As I've sat down and gone through the P&L, the balance sheet, all that stuff. And she kind of relies on me to help her with that stuff. She won't sign a deal or do something until like she'll just like get my opinion or take on the analytics, and vice versa. I'm way too worried about what people think. I need to be more open, more vulnerable. I'm not as creative, and she helps me out in areas. So I think really understanding value and making sure with your partner, regardless, that this is our situation, but anyone listening, making sure that you put value on one another's values is huge.
She is so lucky to have you as a partner, like in aspect with the financial and the numbers and all that. Like,
that's nice.
Somebody who also struggles with that, like, that's like the best. You'll never get f-ed over if she's dating you.
or at least less.
I mean, we all get f-ed over professionally somehow, but you know.
Yeah. Exactly. I'll say there was a lot of cleanup that happened when I first came in. It's like, wait, where did this go? Where's that rate? How did this happen? There are a lot of cleanup, and there's total checks and balances in every which way right now. So the system is in good shape, because especially in this world, every world, people are getting f-ed over left and right. And to just make sure that all your T's are crossed and your I's are dotted, I mean, now more than ever is so important. I just had the Tinder swindler on on the podcast. And I mean, it's just another example of, you know, cross your T's, dot your I's, and check your back. Because if you don't, there's someone out there that'll take advantage of that gap.
Yep.
It's fucking crazy. All right. When we come back, Jason's finally going to tell us what to do with our money.
So gaps in the diet shouldn't be ignored. Over 97% of women aged 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s. Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/ladygang and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/ladygang. I am a walking example of this. When I got my blood work done at the doctor a couple months ago, I was low on vitamin D, like so many women, but that's where Ritual, our sponsor, comes in. They have an essential for women 18 plus multivitamin. It was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. So it's formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. Does it get any better than that? Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/ladygang and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/ladygang.
This episode of Lady Gang is brought to you by Redecor. I love decorating spaces. As you guys know, this is my like fourth house I've renovated. And I love going into other people's spaces or magazines or seeing people's spaces on Instagram and being like, I would move this, I would move this. And now they finally made a mobile game that's just for us, people who love interior design. It's called Redecor, and it's an interior decorating mobile game that is so much fun to play. It's a great creative outlet that lets your imagination run wild. You can experiment with different colors and textures. You can play, you can explore designs, you can find inspiration, you can actually connect with others who share a passion for home decor like you do. The graphics are super real, they're detailed, and they've even got like cool style guides and tips and all of those things for decorating. So practice your interior design skills and express your creativity with Redecor. Download Redecor for free on the App Store or Google Play Store. That is Redecor, R-E-D-E-C-O-R, on the App Store or Google Play Store.
The Lady Gang is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. Yep, you're listening to us talk. You're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you could be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save over $700 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be there with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2020 and May 2021. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
All right, we're back. There's an Instagram quote that I love that you posted. Every once in a while, you'll Instagram a tweet. And you said, the real burn of being so good and still not being good enough is like, ugh.
I think with that, the idea is that there's so much subjectivity in this world that you can't, unfortunately, rely on strictly the objective performance metrics. Think about people like that. You're listening to this, like you do your job, but you didn't get your bonus, or the bonus pool was half full because it was a tough year, or you thought you were going to get the promotion, but then someone somehow sighed their way into it. And it's a real thing. And it hurts.
So the book, what am I reading? I know it's this restart and it's kind of like taking, if you will, like doing the checks and balances of your own life, like you do for Caitlin. And what made you want to write it and what's in there?
Yeah. So the big thing that made me want to write is after I got off the show, I get this platform and then I pulled my audience. I was like, right now, could you describe what the S&P 500 is, audience? And it was about over 250,000 of them. 91% of them said they had no idea. So I started to realize there's a huge gap in the information that we know and what we're learned and what we have to know. And so I started this company called Restart. Now, a little tea about why I started the company Restart is I got off the show and went right back to work. And when I went right back to work, the show was like, this all worked out for the kid. All right, go speak over here, go do this, go do that. And I'm like, sure, you guys let me go and I still got my job. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And then there was a time where, as you guys know, with Caitlin's podcast, there was a confession released on Caitlin's podcast where she told the story about our first hookup story. So for, you know, things are going well with the bank, life is good, 9 years, 7 promotions, 4 relocations. And Caitlin tells a story about the first time we hooked up. Now, it was a fully clothed dry humping story. And she tells it and she got off from dry humping and she says, that is how I knew it was my guy, in a funny, facetious way. Well, that sparked a lot of headlines. Those headlines sparked a lot of meetings. And those meetings inside my bank came down to this ultimate ultimatum. And that was restart your entire brand here at the bank, or leave the bank and go restart whatever you want to do. And so when they told me that, though, they said no social media, no Instagram, no more podcasts, no more doing any form of media outside the bank. And I'm like, well, I've created a lot of side hustle off this. And, you know, I've literally like, you know, I can make more sometimes in a post than I can in a month. How can you eliminate this everything I've done? That thing could come out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. And so that was the ultimatum I was put in. And so what I did was I restarted my brand outside the bank. I started some companies and one of them is called Restart, to kind of help people refine their career and learn personal financial acumen. And so this book is really centered on anyone that's rethinking their professional position right now. So it could be as small as managing relationships at work, negotiating for yourself, branding for yourself, or it could be as large as making an absolute material move into a different industry. This book has an 8-step roadmap for people to do that. So I would say if you have any bit of career confusion or anxiety about what you're doing for work or where you'll be 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, there's something from this book that can benefit your journey.
Wow. I did not know that about that story.
I don't. I haven't really told it often.
So crazy. Like I can see why though. Like, right, if you're handling like multi-billion and million-dollar deals, like it can't be the guy who's like dry humping his podcaster wife. Like,
I mean, here's another funny story I've never really told anyone, but I'm talking to an attorney. Like, what do I do? I don't know how this works. And he's a labor attorney. I believe that's what his title was, but he was a friend of my brother's. So it's not like I like called some attorney. I was like, Steven, you own a company. What do I do here? He's like, I have a buddy you should talk to. I talked to him. He said, I got to tell you, I've dealt with a lot of bankers. I've dealt with a lot of people on Wall Street with issues and their job and what's next. I've never dealt with a fully clothed, consensual hookup with their significant other that's led to trouble. This is a first for me.
Right?
So crazy.
I mean, that's not scandalous at all when you think about the logistics of it. Like, that's so funny, but obviously such a good moment for you to redirect what you're doing professionally, and it's led you to where you are now. Like, and you get to kind of have your cake you need it too, right? You still get to give the financial advice, do the thing that you were, you know, professionally doing before, and have your platform.
For sure. And it really, I was at my last, if I'm being fully honest, I was ready to leave in its entirety. I had a plan to get out of there when I wanted to get out there, and I had financial stability to do so. Yeah. And in the book, I talk about a lot of like the struggles I dealt with in the corporate world, right? The constant camouflaging of my inner voice, the things I would do to keep everything on the surface, what was perceived as success, to continue to climb the ladder. And it got pretty intense. I mean, everything from I got to a point where I was just having these like crazy anxiety attacks, trying to keep up with what I thought was the impression of what they wanted, that I started to lose my identity. I had this, like, I talk all about it in the book, but I had this massive panic attack in a huge meeting. I had to exit the meeting. I get into the bathroom. I close the door. I just hit the deck, and it's the executive's bathroom, and I'm sitting there passing out.
Oh my God.
So as a result of that, I'm like, I get back from that meeting, trying to figure out what the hell happened. You know, I can't show those colors in corporate America. If I show any of that weakness, that will be perceived as an opportunity for improvement, and would definitely impact my success rate. So I started, you know, taking beta blockers and holding Xanax on me 24/7, anything I could do to camouflage the inner voice. And I talk a lot about that and some of the issues I had, and some that I know others face, maybe not at that level, but at other levels, and finding, you know, your restart before, you know, you hit the deck of an executive's bathroom is truly, truly critically important.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I love that. Hey, Jason, I know this is kind of crazy, but what is the 500 S&P?
Okay. So the S&P 500, here's the best breakdown I'm going to get for you. Okay.
I have like no idea what it is.
Okay. So you guys
Jack
have
didn't
no
want to ask, but I'm okay to look uncool.
Okay. So tell me if this helps click a little bit. So we're going to go 101.
Wait, can I guess? Is it like the 500 most profitable stocks or something?
Okay. I think it could be the 500 like most traded companies, stock. Fortune 500 companies or something.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Okay. I mean, those are good guesses, but here's what I want. But you know,
like,
what,
you guys,
so, so suppose you are right. Do you know what it does?
It's controlling the economy at the moment.
I believe this is what, when I go onto my vanguard.com and I either like lose or gain some zeros.
Yep.
I think it's that is doing that.
Okay. So here's what I want. I wanted to hopefully make this click, because it's not about knowing exactly what it is. It's about more understanding like the mechanism of like what it is. Oh, Caitlin's FaceTiming me, cute. But so imagine you go
pick
to
up
the
if
doctor.
You want.
Should we pick up? Let's do it. Maybe that she knows I'm with you guys. Hey, do you want to say hi to the lady gang?
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
Hi, babe. I was just calling to say that I got so drunk off one margarita that 26% alcohol in this tiny little can.
Yeah, those things are awesome. They serve them at Delta planes.
It's insane. Yeah. Oh my God, I love you guys.
Love you.
We're just talking about LaDuke. Okay.
Back to it. I can't really hear you, but we're getting our nails done and pumping music and getting.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, guys.
Dave. We're daging.
All right. You enjoy it. See ya. Okay. Bye.
I love you guys.
She got so drunk off a tiny margarita. That's like the most Caitlin FaceTime.
26% alcohol in a canned drink? That's insane.
It's a small business out of Atlanta, and they're these little things. You're supposed to put them on rocks. I don't think she got that message. But they serve, they just locked up the Delta contract, and they're in every Delta.
Oh,
there,
hell yes. Cannot wait.
Tip-top margaritas. All right, so S&P 500, right? So this is what, think about it like this. People want to know what the S&P is trading at daily. And they want to know why it's trading what it's at, because it gives an indicator of how the overall market's doing. So it's like if we go to the doctor or we go to like the ER, the first thing the doctor is going to be is they're going to try and figure out what's happening. So they're going to want to know your vitals, right? Your heart rate, your blood pressure, your temperature. That those three things, your heart rate, your blood pressure, your temperature, that doesn't tell them exactly what's wrong with Kelty or Jack. But it tells the doctor an overall idea of how the body's performing, right? Temperature's up, something's not right. Temperature's right, it's healthy. That's what the S&P 500 is really supposed to do. So if you take a basket and you put in the 500 largest market cap U.S. publicly traded companies, and you put it in a big basket, that's going to be the S&P 500. So you're going to get a number that'll show how all 500 of these companies collectively as a whole are performing today. So the first thing you'll do, right, is I'll go to, suppose I'm moving quick meeting to meeting, I'll go to my stocks, I'll look at S&P 500. It's down 2.73% today. So without looking at anything, I know that's really, really bad. That on today's day, 500 of the biggest and largest companies all together in one big basket are collectively down 2.73%. That's bad. That's like having a 101 degree fever. So it gives you an idea of what's happening with the 500 largest companies. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes.
Feels so smart. I'm definitely using this at a dinner
party. I'm a genius.
The other thing, so we get so many questions about money. I think that Women and Money is like probably your next book, even though you're a dude.
Mansplaining Women and Money.
Yeah, exactly. But we do not talk about it. We're scared to talk about it. I actually had an opportunity this week with a person that I know, and she was like very unhappy in her job. And I was like, well, what's your salary? And she told me the salary, and I was like jaw on the floor. I was like, you know that you're like being underpaid by this, this much. Like, because we don't talk about it, we don't ever find out what's happening.
Yeah.
And so I want to be like straight up honest. I know you have this whole like retiring at 50 thing. I'm also on like in that. Do you have that? You do, right? You want to retire.
I don't, but you know, we'll see. I think that might be a Caitlin thing.
I love that you just made that up though.
I don't know. We're talking about it. Anyway, so my whole thing is like, I'm working on this new project, this new show. And if it doesn't do what I hope it will do, I'm fucking out. Like, I'm going to lady gang, and then I'm going to like just live on my compounded interest. Like, I'm a psycho. I've saved all my money. Like, I do not want to do anything anymore. But there's a lot of people who did not grow up the way that I grew up, which was, you know, in Sherwood Park being like, I'm going to sew my own dance costumes. Like, and I've always been a saver. So I was really lucky because I started saving my money even when I was broke. But if you're sitting here in your 30s and you're like, okay, I have a little bit of credit card debt. I got 10 grand in my bank account, maybe 3 grand in my bank account. Like, what? I have nothing in my retirement except like what I put in my 401k sometimes. And sometimes I didn't because I wanted the money at home. Like, what do you tell that person how to get their shit together?
Absolutely. I love it. So I did in this book, there is a whole chapter on it called Let's Get You Paid. And so it's a whole chapter of breaking down all the tips and tricks you got to do. But the biggest and first step right there is let's increase the cash inflow, right? So we already know we have financial distress. Let's get more money in our pockets. And so to do that, we have to be able to negotiate for ourselves. I'm going to ask you guys a quick question. What percentage of people do you think do not negotiate for themselves? Not in a year, in their entire career. They don't negotiate their annual pay. They're not sitting down doing reviews. What percentage of people go their entire career?
I bet like 60%.
Oh, I think it's way higher. I think that you sit there at the end. Jack's never had a real job. Her only real job is at Old Navy. In like a corporate world, I feel like you sit there and they give you a 3% bump that's contractually obligated. And you never say, here's the things I did, and this is why I need this $10,000 or whatever. I would say like 80%.
Okay. So the percentage of people that don't negotiate on an annual basis, right? So when they get their review is over 80%, but it's actually around 63%. Think about a career though. If you start at 18 and you're 18 and you retire at 62, 44 years, never once negotiating, 63% of people aren't doing it.
It's crazy.
And when a male and a female go to the table and negotiate the same exact way in the same manner with the same performance right now. And fortunately, the gap is changing a little bit, but the male will get a higher raise based on every study that is done. So when you really put that in perspective, the importance of negotiating, and given historical information, the performance of negotiating as a female, even at a higher level, is that much more important. And so you got to start with getting your cash inflow to be higher. One quick tip I'll give people to do it. Whatever you do, find out what the market is paying. You can find out what the market is paying by going to get another offer, calling recruiters in the area, talking to different associations. Just call someone that works for another bank, company in that industry, figure out what they're getting paid, and bring those offers and bring that market rate to your boss and say, hey, I know people are getting paid X amount of dollars in this industry. If I'm not compensated appropriately, I'm going to have to start looking, and I don't want to start looking. Is there anything you can do? Doing just that exact thing in a 6-minute conversation, I got a 20% raise. Just that. So start with that. The second thing is you got to manage your debt. Your debt it will weigh you down for the rest of your life. If you have rolling credit card debt, you have to find ways to refinance it and get that paid off, because it doesn't matter how much you're getting an increase in your rate. If you're getting a 20% bump and you're paying 20% interest, you're now net even. You have to get rid of your credit card debt. And once you manage that, big thing people don't talk enough about is really understanding your behaviors. So take out two statements of your last credit card history. Just print out two. It'll take you 5 minutes. It sounds awful. Take you 5 minutes. And just look at what you're spending money on. Understand your psychology, your behaviors, your patterns. And it's okay if you go splurge on a night out or you're a big dinner person, but you can't splurge in every single direction, especially right now when the cost of things are going up 7.5%. Inflation's crazy. So if you're not budgeting, the impact of that will be so much greater. So negotiate for your top line, take care of your high interest rate debt, so likely credit card debt, and make sure you're doing behavioral-based budgeting, understanding yourself, and then saying to yourself, you know what? I'm going to allow myself to go shopping once a month, but I'm not going to allow myself to go shopping every week, go out to dinner every week, go eat drinks every day, and then go do this, right? So behavioral-based budgeting is huge.
But I love this, because this is like a little triangle, if you will. The Jason... Do I dare say the Tartic Triangle?
Wow. I'm going to start writing this down. This is good marketing.
But what's interesting is that you see so many money books, and there's so many money books for women that are like, you got to budget and like give up your Starbucks every day.
No avocado toast.
But that the part that is very important was the first point that you made. We all know we got to get rid of our credit card debt, and we all know we have to like take a hard look at ourselves and be like, is this the right car I'm driving? Can I go out to the hot spot and drink $25 cocktail? Like all of that, those things. But the thing that you said first, which is you need to increase your rate. I think as women, we look around, and I see this a lot in our Facebook group, is just you're like, I'm trying to increase my thing. Should I start an Etsy store? Should I start, you know, selling my extra things?
Should
I get a side hustle full job? And I think the point that you made, Jason, that's so important is before you go start doing that, in which I love a side hustle, I have many side hustles, but like before you start doing that, wherever you are, where that first job is, that first paycheck, go and try to find a way to maximize that. I love that advice, because I think that's number one.
Yeah. When you look at like career pillars and issues people have, compensation is one of them. And it is the easiest to fix. It's the easiest fix. And if you can't sell yourself, you got to rethink about that, because if you can't sell yourself, you're not gonna be able to sell much. And it's time to like really, really start selling yourself. So negotiate for yourself, and that'll be a huge thing. And to your point is that there's 168 hours in a week, 168. Like, what do you work 40, maybe 50, maybe 60 because you got a crazy job. But what are you doing with the other hours to really like maximize what you're trying to achieve out of life? And it's just so important that people start addressing this. The other thing too with the spending, it kind of clicked when you said the car I drive. When you're doing this like behavioral-based budgeting, which is different negotiating, you might want to start asking yourself some questions. Like, why am I doing this, right? In my early 20s, my bar bills were outrageous. Why? Because I was trying to act like the guy that will buy people drinks because I wanted to be cool. Why did I want to be cool? I had some deep-rooted insecurities because I wasn't being fulfilled in other ways, right?
Yes.
If you can understand this shit earlier, the amount of money you'll save and the satisfaction you'll have in life, the money I wasted on just bullshit because I had internal issues was just stupid. And so to get ahead of that now is just so important.
Oh my God. Do you want to look within?
Yes. I have a dirty 20s, 30s secret, very similar, Jason, but mine was at like high-end luxury stores. So I now really do not buy anything new. Like I buy all of my luxury items on consignment just because I don't need to pay an extra $5,000 to get the box. But when I was younger, I wanted to be seen as like fashionable and in the know. And so like, I'd go to the Beverly Center and I'd like look at the stores and then I'm like in the store and I'm looking around and there's nothing that I really, really need or can afford, to be honest with you. But I'm so willing to be judged by the sales associate who's probably making minimum wage, but I'm like, I don't want to be seen as a loser who just like comes in to look at this store. I need to buy something so they think I'm cool. And then I would like buy a bag. Like that's some dark shit.
Yeah.
But like I would like, you know, I don't know. There's just so many things like that. Like yours is the bar bill. Mine was like, I want to have the bag so that I can, you know, have self-worth or whatever. But like, once you do that deep work, it's actually, Jack was great. When we put out our first book, we were at Dr. Diamond's getting injections and we put out our first book. It went on sale and it went to the top of the Amazon charts and we were like so f-ing excited and we were right next door to Fendi and we're like, you guys, we never spent any money on anything. Like every penny to that point that was Lady Gang had gone back into like fighting lawsuits and getting insurance and stuff.
Sure.
And we're like, guys, we got to celebrate. So me and Becca go into Fendi with Jack and we're like, let's all buy a purse. So like I buy a purse. I don't even think I want it. Becca buys a purse. And Jack's like, you know, I actually am not going to buy a purse here at Fendi. I would like you to direct deposit that money into my account and I'll just take the cash. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
I love that, Jack.
Well, but that's how I was raised. Like I never really, my parents never had that much money growing up. And I always am very, very careful with my spending. And I never really went through one of those phases where I was just like binge spending on things. So especially like a big purchase, I've always been like, do I really want this? Let me think about it for like 2 weeks straight. And if I can't stop thinking about it, then I'll get it. But I'm not like a impulsive big purchase buyer. So that like stressed me out. And then the pandemic happened and I was like, I'm really glad I have this extra $2,500.
I love totally. That. The one thing though is those two scenarios I do think are like very different, right? Because one is you're going to celebrate yourself because it's something you want and something you earned. And that is great. The other scenario though, when you're like, you don't want to be judged and you're embarrassed and you're trying to create satisfaction for the actual retail employee, like that is more of like a insecurity that you have to talk to yourself about, right? Because like, why is that? What's the issue? Because if you don't address that, think about how many circumstances like that in life will come your way that you'll end up spending and it will create an endless, endless pit. So the first thing is like acknowledging that and then doing what you did, like put a solution in place. Like I like nice shit. Guess what? That's what I like. So I'll just find a way to get it more affordably priced, right?
It's so smart. It's like therapizing your spending. Like nobody has ever, I've never seen it put that way before, but it's so true.
Right. But it tells you so much. Like if you go pull up two freaking statements of your credit card, you will learn more shit about you than you ever imagined.
At the moment, we're in March, April of 2022. Like, is it a good time to be putting a big chunk of money in a new investment account? Or is that like, what would you recommend doing for that?
So the tough,
because the world is falling apart, Jason.
The world is, it is crazy right now, and there are so many moving parts, right? You have oil prices that are now about $130 a barrel. Like it's crazy. You have World War III, you have inflation, interest rates are going up. So there are so many moving parts. The big thing everyone says, like, where do I start with investing? Like, what do I do? And the first thing to say to yourself that you have to be able to answer is, what is your risk tolerance? And let's break it down like the S&P 500 question. Go to a casino. You ever go to a casino with 10 people? all 10 people do different things. You got one person who's going to go put $1,000 on red, and you got another person who's literally going to sit at a slot machine, not spend any money, and just take the free drinks.
Yeah.
Those risk tolerances are night and day. So based on what your risk level is, the investment options are going to change completely and drastically. The one thing I think everyone needs to know right now is that the value of your dollar is being decreased by the second. So right. If you're sitting, Jack, in if you have money that's sitting in a cash account doing nothing, that money is literally bleeding every day and it's worth less and less.
Right.
So if you look at like $1 in 1970, this is a time value of money situation. And the whole idea of time value of money is that next year, suppose you have $100,000, I'm just making this up, $100,000 in your bank account. Next year at this time, that $100,000 will still be $100,000, but it's worth a lot less.
Right.
So $1 in 1970 today is worth almost $8. That's huge, 800% increase. So you got to manage inflation. One of the easiest ways to do it with just the most you could put in this account is 10K. It's called an I bond. So what the government essentially says is inflation's getting crazy. We're gonna help out. We're gonna create this thing called an I bond that's gonna give you a return that will at least meet inflation. So can you put all your money in it? No, but you can put up to $10,000 in it. And it right now the rate is set at 7.5%. So you'll get 7.5% return. It sets again in April. There's no risk. There's no fees. So it's likely in April that rate will go up. You can put 10K in there. You won't lose a penny. That is the most risk-averse option. That is your person that goes to the casino, sits at the slot machine, and doesn't put in a penny but gets the free drinks.
Right.
And right there, you're talking a minimum of 7.5% to 8.5%. Now, at the opposite end of the spectrum, if you wanted to get absolutely crazy with your money, and I would not suggest doing this, but if you had no risk tolerance, you're just like, I don't care what you do. I just put my money in, and if it's gone, it's gone. Some of the most volatile moving assets right now is cryptocurrency, right? The volatility of it is all over. Volatility is what that means is the highs and lows. Like it's like a roller coaster. It's changing every second. So cryptocurrency is a place if you want to get crazy returns, crazy losses, but you have to know, you know, that's highly risky. Another one is what they'll tell you, and I'll take a breath here because I could talk about this all day, is if you look at the market cap of a company, so the size of the company. If you guys heard of penny stocks before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The word penny stocks.
Yeah.
Those are extremely small companies. So smaller companies will have higher volatility and bigger changes than your mega companies like an Apple, right? Apple is like one of the biggest companies market cap in the world. They're going to have less swings. So the smaller the company, the greater swings, the bigger the company, the less swings. And I mean, we could do 3 podcasts just on all about this.
So
I'll take pause and see if you have any questions.
This is amazing. We actually have to go and tell all our girls to buy your book now. But we're definitely having you back on.
I know we need you back. I have so many more questions.
Yeah, we're not even, I spent way too much time on Leduc. I'm a fucking idiot. The Restart Roadmap is out April 5th. You can follow Jason at Jason_Tartik. Of course, we are so happy for you. So if you have a friend or you know someone that could use this book, please recommend it. And Jason's been so nice and given us so much free advice today. Let's go invest in his project for him. And Jason, congratulations, man.
Congrats.
Your baby is born.
That's right. It is here. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's fun to be on. And anytime you let me know, I'll come on and we'll talk business, finance, bachelor, whatever you got.
Yes.
I love it. All right. We will
see you
next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening. The Lady Gang is produced by Alex Ingber, Steve Delameter, and Jared Monaco. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our podcast. And if you love it, share it with your friends on social media. Like, oh my God, I just listened to Lady Gang. This episode's so great. Swipe up to listen. And if you really want to, which we know you do, please follow us on social at Kelty, at Becca, at Jack Vanek, and at The Lady Gang. Sign up for our newsletter at theladygang.com and join our secret Facebook group. It's super fun. See you next Tuesday.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.